facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome and a marvelous Monday to you. So glad you're with me for another week on the Cale Clark Show. 1-888-914-9149 is the toll-free line to call to talk to me, and it's free. 1-888-914-9149. Or you could email the program, Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. And I'm on Twitter, too, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. The show account is at Cale Clark Show. So it's great to be with you. Hope you all had a great weekend. And producer Lucas is here. Did you have a good weekend, Lucas?
Yeah, it was good. I tell you what, I did nothing for the first time in a long time, and it was glorious.
This is a high-quality leisure, as we talked about a few days ago on the program. HQL. Start a new hashtag.
Did you... Well, I bet you had a good weekend, because your Bills absolutely crushed my Dolphins. So
We squished the fish, and boy, did we ever. 35-0. My Buffalo Bills routed your Miami Dolphins. Gosh. So it was definitely a good weekend for me. Did you watch the Emmy Awards by any chance last night?
No, I didn't either.
But apparently Ted Lasso won a whole bunch of awards. And apparently that show has gone downhill. We talked about it recently on the program and got some positive themes. Apparently season two, I have not watched season two. I have not gotten there yet. So... But I've heard some bad stuff, that people are withdrawing their support for Ted Lasso.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
Andrew Petiprin on Twitter, I think he said he can no longer endorse the show. He works with Word on Fire, convert to the Catholic faith. Interesting dude. So he wrote a piece about the Ted Lasso show, season one, which we featured on the program recently. And yeah, so he has said, no, season two is a mess. It's a lot of immorality, a lot of crazy stuff. So. Yeah, I haven't checked that, but I did not watch the Emmy Awards, but one person that was kind of on the minds of everybody at the Emmy Awards was the late Norm Macdonald, the great stand-up comedian who passed away last week at the age of 61, dying of cancer. A lot of people didn't even know he had cancer. And today, in the New York Times, Matthew Walther wrote an interesting piece about the faith of Norm Macdonald, and it was called Norm Macdonald's Comedy Was Quite Christian. And by the way, Matthew Walther, just to introduce you to him a little bit, he's the editor of a Catholic publication called The Lamp, which is a Catholic literary journal. He also writes for the American Conservative and is a contributing editor there. So he wrote that. By the way, he's a really interesting follow on Twitter. I followed him on Twitter today. I was checking out his tweets. He's got some pretty funny takes. And he's got some good football takes as well. Like, he was tweeting about last night's game between the Chiefs and the Ravens on Sunday Night Football, and he said this is the most entertaining Sunday night game since week two of last season, when it was the Patriots and the Seahawks. And I would agree with that. That was an awesome game between the Pats and the Seahawks last year, and it was an awesome game last night too. Maybe so. He's a good follow on Twitter, Matthew Walther, and he starts off his opinion piece writing in the New York Times today, writing about Norm Macdonald's Christian faith. And he starts saying that really the relationship between Christianity and comedy has kind of been going downhill for quite a while. Because think about it, can you name any specifically? Of course, there's Jen Folwiler, right? She's a pretty outstanding Catholic comedian. I don't know if Matthew Walther has checked out her work, but she's a friend of the program. That was one of the best shows we've had producer Lucas in a long time when she was on the program recently.
That was so much fun.
Yeah, we got a link to that one in the show notes. It's in the archives. You can check out the podcast. And she's starting her Minivan Fabulous World Tour really soon. So tickets are available. Check it out. You can follow her and search for her, Google her, Jennifer Folwiler. Great Catholic comedian. Used to be a radio show host as well. Don't worry, that doesn't mean I'm going to go into stand-up. I'm not going to follow in her footsteps there. But and you're probably thinking, yeah, that's probably a good career move, Cale. But Norm Macdonald was, of course, a stand-up comedian, well-known for his work on Saturday Night Live's Weekend Update, from which he was fired, by the way, for all his OJ jokes. We'll get into that in a little bit. But Matthew Walther, writing in the New York Times about this, he said, really, there hasn't been much of a relationship between Christianity and comedy, really, since the 1960s. Because back then, Bishop Fulton Sheen, who, of course, had a well-known television program that was really, really popular called Life is Worth Living. He was really into the media, evangelized through the media, which is really what we're trying to do here at Relevant Radio. We're trying to reach the world for Christ through the media. And he was really a great pioneer in that when it came to TV. But back in the 1960s, he was like heavily involved in like the roast of the comedian Milton Berle, if you remember that guy. Apparently, this is, I've never heard of this, but there was somebody named Tom Lehrer who wrote a song called The Vatican Rag, which was a, quote, goofy but informed ribbing of Catholics. And apparently that record spent 51 weeks on the Billboard album charts. I didn't know that. So this is mentioned by Matthew Walther in the piece. But really these days, in terms of like extremely high profile Catholic comedians, there's Jen Fulweiler. Of course, there's Stephen Colbert. Now, a lot of people say, well, he's not really practicing Catholic. He's very liberal, all that sort of stuff. Yeah, I mean, granted, I'm going to leave that aside for now. But the point is, he is a Catholic in the mainstream of comedy. But you don't really hear too much by the way of Christian comedy, except for, you know, really bad jokes about the abuse crisis in the church, or, you know, when it comes to Christianity in general, there are a lot of jokes about the Bible Belt and people who live there in the southern United States. And so Matthew Walther says he was really surprised that when all the obituaries came out for Norm Macdonald, hardly anybody mentioned his faith. Hardly anybody mentioned his faith. Now, he didn't talk a whole lot about his private life, and being a comedian and being as jokey as he was, it was hard to tell sometimes whether he was being serious or not whenever he was talking about anything. But apparently he did speak a lot about his faith in God. And he also very famously, or maybe a lot of people kind of wanted to bury this, but he was really upfront about what he thought about abortion. And in fact, a couple years ago, he appeared on Dennis Miller's radio program, and this is what he had to say there.
What side of the abortion thing did you come down on? Are you pro-choice or pro-life?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of unpopular. I don't like saying it because it's unpopular.
All right, I'll keep you off that.
No, I'm very pro-life, but I just don't think a woman should have the right to choose to murder a baby.
Well, yeah. And Miller kind of laughed nervously for a little bit, and so did his producer on the program. But he wasn't trying to be funny. As shocking as that statement is, it's exactly right on point. It's exactly true. So he was very pro-life, Norm Macdonald, and he actually gave a lot of little hints about his faith development on different interviews that he gave. Later on in his career, and really, he was really at the height of his fame in the early 90s, but he was presiding over a roast of a fellow comedian, Bob Saget, from Full House. You remember that guy? For some reason, I've never quite understood. A lot of people just hate Bob Saget. They just can't stand the guy. I never watched the show. I never was a Full House viewer. Maybe you were. If you can enlighten me as to why people don't like Saget, call in 888-914-9149. You're listening to the K.O. Clark Show on Relevant Radio. But as Matthew Walther said in the New York Times today, there was a roast for Bob Saget in 2008. And Norm Macdonald, quote, baffled viewers and delighted his fellow comedians with a very tender routine that was full of corny one-liners that would not have been out of place at a retirement party in 1954. So here's a clip from Norm Macdonald's roast of Bob Saget. Check it out.
In all seriousness, Bob was the first comedian that I ever saw perform when I was a boy, live, and I loved him. But one thing that bonds us as comedians is we're bitter and jealous, and we hate everyone else that has any success. But Bob, honestly, has never had an unkind word for anybody, and I love him, and I hope everybody else does, so I just want to say that. Thank you.
That was kind of sweet, right? It was a sweet thing to say, and And what he said about comedians is true about people in almost any profession. We're bitter and jealous and hate anyone that has any success. That's true in a lot of fields, unfortunately. In the New York Times today, and this is a really trending topic, Matthew Walther writing about the late comedian Norm MacDonald, who passed away last week at the age of 61 of cancer. MacDonald was well known for his jokes, just eviscerating O.J. Simpson. This was part of his routine. In fact, he did this so much, he actually got fired from Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live because of this. Here's a clip from, what's the provenance of this clip? Oh, this is Comedy Central in 2019. Yeah, check this out, Norm MacDonald.
I see OJ's in the news again this week. What about Norm's series of OJ jokes?
Oh, yeah.
But I have to tell you, the true spirit of that Weekend Update is an outlaw sort of mentality. And they told Norm, the guys who signed the checks, as high up as you can go at NBC, do not do any more OJ jokes. Yeah. He's my friend. Norm comes out the next week, completely blottos. Yeah. OJ. So I have to give you credit for right. that, Norm. Yeah.
But is that why you left the show?
No, I must say, I now in this cancel culture and everything, I have to say, I no longer take that position with O.J. Simpson. He was found not guilty by a jury of his peers. I accept that. I see him as the greatest rusher. That's all he's guilty of to me, is the greatest rusher in the history of the NFL.
Yep.
Maybe I was the greatest rusher to judgment.
All that for that?
Okay, so I think he had his tongue firmly planted in cheek when he said that. I don't think he thinks OJ's innocent by any stretch of the imagination. But Matthew Walther in the New York Times, he seems to think that MacDonald abandoned his animus against OJ. I don't think that's the case. I don't think he said that seriously at all. But what's interesting in and this is something Walther points out, that a lot of the stuff that MacDonald did really did emphasize the dignity of the human person, whether that was the unborn or Bob Saget, anybody really. And he was very, very, it was kind of, a lot of his Christian stuff in his comedy was a little bit implicit. And apparently he had an online exchange, and there's a link to it in the New York Times piece, with Richard Dawkins, the very noted atheist biologist. And Norm MacDonald asked him, okay, why is it that organisms that exist solely to replicate their genetic material, and I guess that's Dawkins' view, hey, humans don't have any, you know, we don't have any eternal future, we're just here to replicate ourselves, blah, blah, blah. MacDonald said, hey, why is it that organisms that exist allegedly just to replicate their genetic material, why would they ever commit suicide? It's an interesting question. So you can check out the link for that. But in 2009, he asked an audience. Now, he was talking about Bill Maher, who has said some really anti-Catholic stuff. Remember that comedy special they had called Religious, in which he really attacked the faith, really attacked the church. Mr. MacDonald, Norm MacDonald, kind of began a comedy set, kind of taking a shot at Bill Maher, and then he asked the audience to consider life after death. And as it talks about in the New York Times article by Matthew Walther, Norm MacDonald really kind of put it, he kind of framed it like Pascal's wager. And here's what MacDonald said. He said, quote, there's only two things. You've got to look at the evidence that God exists. None. That's not good. Then you go, what's the evidence God does not exist? None. So they're equal. One of them is for sure right. He continued on. You just have to hazard a guess at that point. So what do I do if I have two choices? Is I go, what do you got? One guy goes, well, when you die, you get to go up and play a harp on a cloud. Well, gosh darn it. Well, he didn't say gosh darn it. I just edited that for you for family purposes here. Well, gosh darn it. I've always wanted to play a harp. Says to the other guy, what have you got? What happens when you die in your plan? Well, they just put dirt on you. And so he kind of, you know, I don't agree with, I don't know whether he's completely serious when he says these things. He says there's no evidence that God exists. But in many ways, he's right. An atheist has to have faith in his position because he can't prove that God doesn't exist. I do think there's a lot of evidence for the existence of God, obviously. But ultimately, at the end, you do need to take a leap of faith. But I like the way he framed that. It's a little bit like Pascal's wager. You say there's a God, there's a judgment, there's eternal life, there's heaven, there's hell. Another person says, nope, there's nothing after death. Well, if he's right, if there's nothing after death and we die, we both lose. We both still lose. But if I'm right, you still lose, and I gain everything if I believe in this. So it makes sense, even just from a gambling man's perspective, to have faith. But in terms of faith, he had an interesting exchange, Norm Macdonald, with Larry King some years later. And here's what he said in this interview with Larry King. This is just fascinating. Check this out.
You get a lot of attention on Twittersphere for being open about your religious views. What are they?
I'm a Christian. It's not devout. Not stylish to say now.
No, are you devout?
Yes.
You believe in the Lord?
Yes, I do.
You think you're going somewhere when it ends?
I don't believe it, but I, you know, what people don't understand about faith is that you have to choose it. You know what I mean? They think that you believe it, but you have to choose it.
So you choose to have faith?
Yes.
That means you believe you're going somewhere. What is faith? But I have faith.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very interesting exchange between Norm Macdonald and Larry King. And in the article, Matthew Walther starts saying that really this is kind of, you know, echoes of Kierkegaard, John Henry Newman, you know, the grammar of assent, the subject of faith. What is faith, belief all about? But when he said what people don't understand about faith is that you have to choose it, I don't think that he's necessary. I hope he's not saying that I'm just making a random choice. I would say that faith is a taking a step of trust, taking a step of faith or trust in the direction that the evidence is pointing. And we have lots of evidence. So I've talked about it a lot on this program ever since I came to Relevant Radio back in 2020. We talked about the evidence for Jesus, the evidence for the resurrection, the evidence for the fact that he did miracles. There's lots of great evidence, but it's always of the nature of you still have to take that step of faith. You have to take a step of faith in the direction the evidence is pointing. It's a little bit different. Most of us are not like St. Paul. With St. Paul, Paul didn't have a choice anymore because Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, revealed himself as being fully alive, resurrected, ascended into heaven. Here I am, Paul. And Paul had no choice but to believe at that point. So really, in a sense, his faith was taken away. He still had to have faith, but you get the point. So I guess you could say, really, and we have to do this with the church, too. We trust in a competent authority that we have really good evidence to believe is legit. And so, I don't know, and I don't want to get into COVID here. If you want to talk about COVID, call Drew, call Patrick. But I don't want to talk about it. But I will say this. I did hear a story, no matter what side of the debate you come down on this. I did hear a story that kind of makes sense to me along these lines. There was a critical care nurse who said the other day that she had a COVID patient on a ventilator, and this guy was in like brutal shape. Like he almost died. He wakes up and he's like, "Where am I?" And the nurse is like, "Well, you're in the intensive care unit and you're on a ventilator and you have COVID and you almost died." He's like, "No, that's not possible. COVID doesn't exist." So, okay. And people who say COVID doesn't exist, there's no such thing, I suppose they have some quote unquote reasons to believe that, but you have to make your own decision. Who has the best evidence here? People say, yes, there is such a thing as COVID, and people have caught it, and many have died, thousands have died, hundreds of thousands have died, great multitudes have died all around the world. It's a big problem. Then other people say, oh, it's not real, it doesn't exist. Well, why do you believe that? What are you basing that on? What's your evidence? And so people are making a leap of faith saying, okay, based on the evidence, I think COVID is real, it does exist. And some people are saying, well, based on what I'm reading and where I'm getting this from, I don't think it does exist. But either way, they're having to trust an authority that they're banking on, whether it's people who deny COVID exists or people who say, yeah, it's real. Who's got the best evidence? That's to me, I don't call in to talk about COVID. I only want to use that as an example for This is what faith is really all about. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. So anyway, so back to Norm Macdonald here, the comedian, stand-up comedian, one of my favorite comedians of all time, who passed away last week of cancer at the age of 61. Now, he dropped out of high school, but he, guess what, folks? This is a closely guarded secret. You can get a great education. I'm not suggesting anybody drop out of high school, but you can educate yourself. And that's exactly what Norm Macdonald did. He read a lot of literature. He read a lot of theology. He loved Russian fiction, like stuff like Dostoevsky and the lessons there. Read a lot of theology. And one of the things that he said on Twitter, and he talked a lot about faith stuff on Twitter, he said this, and this is really in the midst of his extreme suffering with cancer. He said, at times, this is back in 2018, at times the joy that life attacks me with is unbearable and leads to gasping, hysterical laughter. How could a man be a cynic? How could a man be a cynic? It is a sin. It is a sin. So just the joy of life, and Matthew Walther in his article talks about, well, this may be a little bit like how in the early centuries of the church and the Greco-Roman world and the Roman Empire, people used to make fun of Christians because they thought they were being silly. They thought that their joy was misplaced. A lot of people thought they reminded one of drunk people. Just why are they so happy? Don't they understand how rough life really is? Norm Macdonald says, at times the joy that life attacks me with is unbearable and leads to gasping, hysterical laughter. And it's a little bit like the martyrs, right? I mean, how could he be suffering from cancer and having all this pain, but yet he's still filled with joy? Well, I think his faith had a lot to do with that. And by the way, a little joke that he had about cancer that was mentioned in the piece, he kind of made fun of people saying, oh, I've battled cancer, or I'm battling cancer. He said, quote, I'm not a doctor, but I'm pretty sure if you die, the cancer dies at the same time. That's not a loss. That's a draw. Okay, little joke there. And so this sort of gallows humor, this is actually kind of a hallmark of the faith in a lot of ways. Think about the saints. Think about the martyrs of the faith. St. Lawrence on the gridiron. Oh, I'm done on this side. Turn me over. St. Thomas More to the executioner who's going to chop off his head. Hey, make it a clean cut. Don't want you to lose your professional reputation. This is part of the deal. So we're going to talk about this a little bit more after the break. 888-914-9149. Call in for your take. We'll talk about martyrdom and that we can have faith in the midst of it. Cale Clark Show, Relevant Radio. Be right back.
Facts and fun. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Sometimes you're crazy. Producer Lucas playing a little Hootie and the Blowfish. You know that famous line. There it is. I'm such a baby because the dolphins make me cry. Well, they don't make me cry, but they make producer Lucas cry.
This has been my anthem all day today.
Yeah. Just a rough day for the dolphins.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we have a lot of Relevant Radio listeners in Miami, and I feel for you. My prayers go out to you. But I'm sorry, not sorry, that the Bills crushed the Dolphins yesterday. They squished the fish 35-0.
In YouTube language, they utterly destroyed the Miami Dolphins.
Well, I tell you, and Tua, the Dolphins quarterback, got hurt, and hopefully he's had some injury, big time injury problems in the past. Hopefully he's okay. He's a talented guy. And it's okay, Lucas. Speaking of suffering and finding joy in the midst of suffering, we were talking about the comedian Norm Macdonald, who passed away. It was an interesting piece. It was trending. That was another show, that Trending with Timory, that comes up after this show. I feel like I handled a trending topic today, as I try to do all the time. It's not Timory. You're not the only show that's trending. Let's put it that way. I'm only kidding, Timory. We love you. But this was trending on the New York Times today. Norm Macdonald, who was a very famous comedian, was on Saturday Night Live, Weekend Update, got fired for all his OJ jokes, director for management. Well, New York Times piece by Matthew Walther, who writes a really interesting Catholic website, and is called The Lamp, a Catholic literary journal. You can check that out. He had a nice piece in the Times today about Norm MacDonald's faith and how that was present even in suffering. And he could find a lot of joy and even humor in his cancer, in his suffering. And a lot of you guys were pretty inspired by that. We're going to go to the phones right now. Andrew is calling from Crawford County, Wisconsin. Hi, Andrew.
I remember when the late Father Andrew Greeley had a column in a lot of Catholic newspapers, and he wrote a few novels. He was a little bit controversial, but I used to get a big kick out of him. And in one of his books, he said, people that don't have a sense of humor generally fall into much more serious sin than someone with a sense of humor. He could just tell from hearing confessions and doing parish work all those years. And he also said, this was 40 years ago, if you don't have a sense of humor about sex, you're eventually going to get in big trouble with it. And that is true. You know, you just have to, there are people that don't see sin any place in sex, and they other people that are driving themselves crazy being scrupulous, thinking everything is a sin. I think he was right. What do you think?
Oh, gosh. I have to think about that one for a little bit. But I do think in general the comment that he made about the fact that if you don't have a sense of humor, you can fall into a lot of serious sin. I think that's right on the money. You have to be able to laugh at yourself because, you know, and sometimes it's laughing just at our own foolishness and sinfulness. I mean, I can't believe I did that. Like, what was I thinking? And if you take yourself too seriously, if you think, you know, I am a canonizable saint, and then when you fall into sin, it shocks you. You think, oh my goodness, like what is going on here? And it can actually send you into this huge death spiral spiritually. So it helps us to remember our creatureliness, if you will, that we are fallible. We make mistakes a lot of the times. Some of them are very stupid. Hopefully they're not willful mistakes, willful sins. But yeah, I absolutely think that you do need to have a good sense of humor to be able to laugh at yourself sometimes, especially not take yourself too seriously. Helps with humility, and we need humility because that's what attracts God's grace to us. God can't resist the humble sinner, like, you know, the guy in the temple who said, you know, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, you know. Not like the proud Pharisee who's saying, oh, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I'm not an adulterer. I give a lot of money. I'm just a great, great guy all around. Yeah, that's not going to work out too well. And so yeah, humility, humor, and like we said before, the example of the saints, a lot of the martyrs, the gallows humor. It's, you can really only make those jokes if you believe in where you're going next, if you believe in the reality of heaven, the reality of the resurrection. So I think that's a really good take. So thanks so much for the call, Andrew. Appreciate the listen. Thanks for calling in. That was Andrew calling from Crawford County, Wisconsin. We're going to go now to California, to the West Coast. Adrian from Modesto, California is on the line. Hi, Adrian.
Hello. My name is Adrian, and I wanted to share a faith story that I have.
Sure.
It happened to me twice. And it just lets you know that, you know, faith is believing and receiving before you know it's going to happen.
Okay, let's hear it.
And it happened to me. Yeah, this happened to me twice. It was a raffle. It happened to me in fourth grade and in junior in high school. They were raffling out a Walkman. And I remember
those.
It was back, you know, it was back. I'm 34, so it was, you know, back. I'm an 86 baby, so. And they were my biology teacher. They had a career day, and they were raffling out a Walkman. And I remember telling every student that I could get a hold of, "Do you want to bet me $20 that's my Walkman?" I even told Mr. Wessling, "Do you want to bet $20 that's my Walkman?" The thing is, I didn't know what this story was going to tell until it happened to me, and I eventually grew up, and I realized it was faith. It was the faith that I had. That I was willing to bet anybody $20, and I mean, I was for sure that it was mine. It was like the faith that I had behind it was, I believe it's mine. I believe that you first have to believe for you to have faith.
Okay.
So, you know, and it's happened to me twice, and I like the topic of faith because I mean, I'm a testimony of it. It's happened to me. I mean, my life, it's happened to me over and over. And I can say that, I mean, faith is something that you really have to, I mean, like I said, I didn't have a story like this until it happened to me, and it happened to me twice. It happened in St. Valentine's Day as well with some chocolates. The teacher was giving out a heart of chocolates, and I told the students, hey, those are my chocolates. Well, what's up with you? Are you cheating? Like, no, I'm not cheating. I'm just, those are mine. And yes, when the raffle came out, to this day, I did not know. I have no explanation other than faith.
You won it. You won the chocolates.
That's my story.
And you look like a genius.
On Valentine's Day, yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Everyone's like, this guy's a prophet, man. What am I going to get on the final exam? Tell me.
And I have one more short story. This is an honesty story because I feel we're always being tested. Every day we're being tested. I remember I went to Tractor Supply. It's a store where you buy, you know, a grain for your horse.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to go buy grain. I was a regular there. And I took my mother as she was visiting me. And I was taking care of a ranch at the time. And long story short is I forgot to pay for a shade hat. And as we walked out of the store in the same plaza, we walked into a Subway to eat some sandwiches. And I told my mother, Mom, I forgot to pay for the sun hat, for the shade hat. I told her, here, pay for the sandwiches. I'm going to go back and I'm going to pay for the hat because God is always watching us. And these are tests that we have to encounter as in our honesty.
That's
when I walked into the store, the lady, she already knew me. She's like, Adrian, you're back. I was like, yes, I forgot to pay for the hat. And she said, wow. You know, we know you didn't mean it. I was like, but it doesn't matter. God is watching us. He knows. He's testing us. I mean, the devil is testing us, but God just wants us to see, do you still have honest people out here? And when she said, oh my God, there's no honest people like you no more. I'm like, no, it's not that. My mother said, you didn't mean it, but it's not what you or my mother think. It's what God thinks. You know, God is watching us. And if, you know, these are tests that we go through every day. And what was funny about it is I told my uncle the story. And when we stopped at where we're going, he bought fruits for $100, gave the lady $100 for the fruits he bought.
Wow. That's pretty good tip there. That's great. That's
yeah,
amazing.
Well, no, what happened is,
yeah.
Well, I take it as he was being tested that day because I told him this story about honesty.
And then he
and
became
when
more
he got
generous.
To the store,
yeah.
Well, when he
That's
gave
great.
The lady $100, he didn't. The lady gave him back a 50, two 20s, and a 10.
Okay. All right. Well, I can never be a cashier because I can't even figure out by that whether or not he actually got paid back the right amount of change. But anyways, I'd get confused so easily. But Adrian in Modesto, California, thanks for calling. And man, you're taking me back to my high school days. You mentioned winning a Walkman. You just had faith you're going to win that thing, and you had faith you're going to win the contest where the teacher was giving out Valentine's chocolates. Man, that would have been a good day for me. You know, coming home from high school, listening to my Walkman, eating chocolate. That was like my life in high school. So you just kind of relived it for me there. Appreciate that. I didn't have a Walkman though. I had a Discman. That was next level. I had the compact Discman. That was truly cutting edge at the time. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show, 1-888-914-9149. We're going to go back to the phones now. Sam is calling from Athens, Georgia. Hi, Sam.
Hey, Cale. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to hear your voice again, Sam.
Thank you. I just wanted to talk about my faith for a second here and say that when I have problems, I have faith that God will answer prayers.
Mm-hmm.
So
he does.
Recently, a couple of months ago, I called into the family rosary and asked for prayers for me. And within a few seconds of me hanging up the phone, my prayer was answered exactly.
Wow.
I hung up the phone and I said, I need to talk to somebody about this problem. The phone rang. And there was a total stranger that had looked me up on the internet, called me, and gave me comfort in my time of need.
That's a pretty quick answer to prayer. It doesn't always come that quickly, but Sam, that's an amazing story. And hey, these are just some of the everyday miracles that happen each time we pray the Family Rosary Across America, which is coming up pretty soon, about an hour and 20 minutes from now with Father Rocky. And you're not going to want to miss that. And Sam, that's awesome to hear that answer to prayer. And You've called in a whole bunch of times. We really appreciate you. Appreciate you sharing that. And that, you know, that's why I tell people, don't be afraid to call in. Always call in, because we pray for all the requests. Not everybody, there's a lot of people call in on that show. Not everybody can get on the air, but everybody who does call in, there's only so much time, right? But everybody that does call in or email the show does, of course, get prayed for. And having millions of people pray for you all across America and across the world, is it does work. It really, really helps. We've seen some great miracles here on Relevant Radio. We're going to go now to Tessa in Tucson, Arizona. Hi, Tessa.
Hi. Hi. I love your show.
Oh, thank you. Very kind.
So I listen to the other things that you do on Faith Explained. I also love those.
Oh, thanks.
So,
thank you.
Yeah, they're great. So my take on faith is that the first thing that we have to do is choose to follow God, because honestly, even the devils mm-hmm. know that there's a God, but mm-hmm. we get to choose if we want to love and listen to the things that he asks for us to do or to not, you know, respond in love or to not. And I think that the more we decide to love him, the more, you know, our faith grows, because, you know, I guess it can get, our faith can wane when we forget to have that relationship with him, when we forget, when we, you know, just kind of drop off a little bit, don't pray as much and that kind of stuff, because then what we're doing is we're not choosing to follow him.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. Yeah, and thank you for your kind words, Tessa. And I think, you know, this is one of the things that Norm Macdonald said to Larry King, that faith, in a sense, is, I don't have the exact quote in front of me. Oh, here it is. That you have to choose it. What people don't understand about faith is that you have to choose it. And again, like we choose it based on evidence. It's an informed choice. But it comes down to the will. And what you mentioned, and this is really written down for us in Scripture in the letter of James, when James says, hey, you believe that God is one? Great, so do the demons, right? But why are they demons? Because they're disobedient. They know the truth. They know who God is. They have more information than we do in some sense, because they're in the supernatural realm. And they said no. They rebelled. Satan and all his minions rebelled. They were created to be good angels. They were serving God in heaven until they rebelled. They were cast out. And so they know what's going on. They just don't want to obey. And so the will is really important. I think that's another thing, great thing that you said too, Tessa, is at every moment of the day, a great question to ask yourself. Now, you didn't exactly say this, but a great question to ask yourself, no matter what you're doing, is, am I doing what I ought to be doing right now at this moment? And oftentimes, you can get a lot of insight from asking yourself that question. Usually, sometimes the answer is no, I should be doing X. When it's time to pray, why do I get drawn off into scrolling Facebook or doom scrolling, you know, on your phone? Because we tend to want to give in to ourselves. And yeah, so we really have to make acts of the will, to do what we ought to be doing and to choose God. And these things will help us. Building these good habits of prayer will help us a lot. So I think it's a great comment, Tessa. I really thank you for calling in. Appreciate that.
Sure. Thanks.
Anytime. You can call in. Tessa, calling from Tucson, Arizona. And speaking of Arizona, one of Arizona's finest will be joining us again tomorrow, Karen Moran, who is used to produce here on this show, and you know her very well. She's going to be joining us for, I don't even know how this is going to happen, but producer Lucas is saying that we're going to have a virtual dance party for the 21st of September. It's a line from the Earth, Wind, and Fire song. We play it a lot in September. Karen's going to be calling in for old time's sake. We're going to have a fun chat. We're going to have a virtual dance party. We may or may not ask you to send your videos of yourselves dancing. I don't know. I'll let producer Lucas figure all that out, but he's the mastermind of this whole thing. So that's coming up tomorrow. And I think what we'll do is we'll take a quick break right now, but I see a whole bunch of you on the phone lines. Bob, I see that we're going to come to you next, Bob. If you have a take on this, please call in 888-914-9149. It's Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, welcome back to the program. We were talking earlier about the late comedian Norm Macdonald, who passed away, who was well known for his faith perspective. And he was asked, and this is in the piece that came out today in the New York Times by Matthew Walther, he was asked whether or not he was a Catholic on social media a few years ago. And he answered the inquirer that, no, I am not, he said. And he's from Quebec. And he said, hey, it would have been very strange for somebody who hails from Quebec if you're of non-French descent to be a member of the church. That's not quite true. There are lots of English-speaking Catholics in Quebec. By the way, there's an election today in Canada. I don't know if you heard this, but we are voting to see if Justin Trudeau will remain as Prime Minister. I can tell you that I did vote. I voted for Wayne Gretzky. He wasn't one of the choices. I wrote him in on the ballot. I don't know if it'll work or not. I don't know if that's considered a spoiled ballot, but anyways, for what it's worth. No, that's not true. But anyways, Norm Macdonald said it would have been very unusual for a person of non-French descent to be a member of the church. He said, quote, like everyone, I am in search of the true faith, of course. It's been a rather long, tough journey for me, at least. Well, he obviously has now reached the end of his journey in this world. But perhaps this is a little bit like what happened with C.S. Lewis growing up in Dublin. A lot of people thought, you know, why didn't C.S. Lewis become a Catholic? He believed so many Catholic things. He believed in confession. He believed in so much overlap in doctrine. He was, of course, an Anglican. And one of his biographers I had a chance to talk to a few years ago wrote a book about C.S. Lewis. And he said, basically, I think the reason why he didn't become a Catholic, this guy told me, was because he just couldn't escape the anti-Catholic prejudices of his youth. It was more of a cultural thing. There was a lot of anti-Catholicism in Dublin, and he just never could really overcome that. And that's an interesting answer. That may in fact be true, it may not, but maybe with Norm, you know, culturally speaking, he just couldn't get over that hump. I don't know, but we'll certainly pray for the repose of his soul. And speaking of that, Bob is on the line from Chicago. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Gil, how are you?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
Great, thanks. I just want to let you know, you got like the best show on radio. You know, your research is great on Norm Macdonald. Like the stuff you found on him, that's outstanding. And I, when he died, I felt bad. I didn't even know he was sick. I had a mass set for him because I thought heaven would be a more fun place if he was up there. And I also think he witnessed. He did what saints do. He spoke truth to power even when it was uncomfortable. Like, I think he saw an injustice in the OJ thing, and he's like, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep doing it because it's the truth. And I think that's what comedians do. They tell the truth, and it's funny because it's the truth sometimes. Not every joke, but some of it, you know?
Yeah.
And I just think he was a really funny guy. And I also think, and maybe I'm reading too much into this, but when you played that thing about Larry King where you choose to be a follower of Christ, I think that every day you kind of have to choose to do it because he wants the deeds, not just the you saying. He wants you to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. Does that make sense? And I think that's what maybe he meant by you choose to be it, because it's going to be an action on your part, not just saying it, but doing it. And anyway, I just want to say you got a great show, and I really appreciate you and the staff. And it's always a good listen.
Bob, Anna, we appreciate you. Thank you for those kind words. I appreciate the encouragement. I know producer Lucas does too, and everybody who works on the show. That is just awesome. Thank you for the listen. I think it's really cool that you did that. I think it's really cool that you had a mass offered for Norm Macdonald, because sometimes we look at some of these celebrities, and yeah, I know people get people are tired of hearing hot takes from celebrities. Just because you're famous, you know, your opinion matters. Very often these guys do not know what they're talking about because they haven't really looked into this when they're pronouncing on religious subjects and things that are going on in the world. Norm Macdonald's a little bit different. First of all, like, these people are real people. Yes, they may have fame, but they have eternal souls, and none of this stuff matters. I mean, when you get to the judgment seat, I mean, saying, hey, Weekend Update was really popular for a few years, that's not something you can really say. But he did study. Norm MacDonald was really looking into things. He was reading theology. He was really wrestling with some of these questions, I think. And some have sort of seen the fact that he didn't really mention his suffering, everything he was undergoing with cancer. Nobody really knew he was that sick until right before the end. That's really a very Catholic thing to do in a lot of ways, to not draw attention to it, I'm not saying he was trying to do this, whether he was consciously thinking about this, but suffering, there's a great theology of suffering in the Catholic Church. And he could joke about cancer. He could joke about these things because one of the things that we know is that death is not the end. There is the victory of the resurrection. No matter how bad things get, nobody here gets out alive, for one. But number two, Jesus has overcome the grave. Jesus said, look, in this world, you're going to have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so we can almost laugh at death. It is a serious topic, to be sure. But I like what you said too, Bob. Like maybe part of the reason why he would go after OJ so much is because of this sort of sense of righteousness and justice that he had. Obviously, he was a pro-life guy. He wasn't afraid to share that. Made people uncomfortable in some ways, but... And you're right. Comedy can speak a lot of truth. I think that's true. So yeah, let's pray for the repose of the soul of Norm MacDonald. And I think it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to do at all. So Bob, listening in Chicago, Illinois, really appreciate that. And speaking of those who spoke truth to power, obviously the martyrs are big time into that. And today was the feast day of the Korean martyrs. And there's another guy who I follow on Twitter, Matt Swain. He's got a lot of good funny takes as well. Matt Swaim, S-W-A-I-M. He does some radio stuff as well. Works with the Coming Home Network, helping people come into the Catholic Church. He's a convert to the Catholic Church as well. And he had a really nice thread on Twitter today about somebody who most of us have never heard of. He said, on this feast of the Korean martyrs, St. Andrew Kim and his companions, it's a compelling story. I encourage you to look up something on the Korean martyrs if you haven't already. He talked about the servant of God, Bishop Francis Hong Young-ho. He was the first and last Catholic bishop of Pyongyang in North Korea. And obviously, we all know what's going on with North Korea and the dictatorship. And his story is pretty compelling because, again, most people have never heard about this. I never heard about this until Matt Swain was tweeting about it. And he was ordained a priest in 1933. Bishop Hong Young-ho was made bishop of, and I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Hayo, 11 years later in 1944. This is right in the middle of World War II. In 1949, he was arrested and imprisoned under the regime of Kim Il-sung, and that was the last time anybody ever heard from him. Despite the fact that he was imprisoned, nobody knew if he was dead or alive. He was still listed as the Bishop of Hayo. The next year, the Vicariate Apostolic of Hayo had its name changed to Pyongyang. So that's when it got changed. And that was in July of 1950. North Korea had invaded South Korea in June of 1950. So he was still listed as the Bishop of Pyongyang in 1950, and nobody knew whether he was alive or dead or whether he heard about this change. Nobody knew what happened to him. In March of 1962, Pope John XXIII elevated Pyongyang to the status of a diocese, and he said, oh, by the way, the first bishop of this diocese is Francis Hong Young-ho, the same guy that nobody knew whether he was dead or alive. He was imprisoned, arrested 13 years prior to this. So for decades, he kept on being listed in the pontifical yearbook as the Bishop of Pyongyang in North Korea. In 2013, the Holy See finally acknowledged that he was dead, not because they had any information about his death or the circumstances of it, but the only reason they declared him dead in 2013 was because they wanted to open his sainthood cause. So basically, he was recognized as the bishop of the present-day Pyongyang diocese from 1949 to 2013. That's 69 years, almost 70 years. And they have never named a successor. And so it's just an interesting story by Matt Swaim. And you can follow him at Matt Swaim on Twitter on this feast of the Korean martyrs who suffered so intensely between 1839 and 1867. We also need to remember this guy, the servant of God, Bishop Francis Hung Young-ho of Pyongyang, who died sometime between 1949 and 2013. So we need to ask him and all the Korean martyrs to pray for us. Well, we've run out of time. Man, this hour flies by so fast on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. But it's been awesome spending this hour with you. We'll be back tomorrow as usual. We're looking for a great week this week on the show. And we can't wait to chat with you tomorrow. Lucas Holt produced. Patrick Alok took your calls. And I hope you Dolphins fans out there can find some solace in the fact that tomorrow's another day. Sunday's another day. And we all have a second chance, as long as we're breathing, with Christ, to turn our lives over to God and just say, hey, Lord, take me, do what you will with my life. I'm yours. And hey, I'm yours too. I'm your host, Cale Clark. Thanks for joining me today. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.